You are listening to the Temple Baptist Church podcast. Today's message was recorded originally on December 21st, 2008. Title of the message today is The Purpose of Christmas, delivered by our pastor, Scott Perry.
Every once in a while, I like to defer to Rick Warren and some of the things that he has done, some of the things that we've done here that were developed at Saddleback Church have been a great blessing to us, and so I continue to read a lot of the things that he writes and to stay abreast of some of the things that he is doing there in that church that in so many ways is on the cutting edge for all of us. I realize that not everyone agrees with him, and I'm sure that if there were opportunity that I wouldn't always agree with him either. But last year, he was given an opportunity, after many years of taking a sermon that he called The Purpose of Christmas, to preach that sermon and have it broadcast on Fox Network. That was a rare and unique opportunity for their church and for their ministry, and one that I think God honored in many ways and helped a lot of people to at least hear the truthful biblical message of Christmas in a way that generally doesn't happen, at least not on broadcast network. From that experience, he wrote a book this year, and some of you may have read it, and I know some of you have it. I've seen it. In your possession, but it's called, very simply, The Purpose of Christmas. And over the years, what he's done is he's developed sermons, always using the same title, but changing the sermon a little bit. And so I've read those through the years, and they've always been an encouragement to me, but I haven't had the opportunity nor taken it to preach them. This is not exactly what he did, but it is, and I want to say all of this to say that this is giving credit where credit is due, comes from what God has done through inspiring this man. And I pray that as his material and as his message, especially this one, is distributed so widely throughout this season that there'll be more people that will have a better understanding of what the true purpose of Christmas is all about. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Today we're going to talk about the purpose of Christmas and do so in three very simple ways. I want you to think in terms of the reality that God has made everything. He has created everything. And everything that He has made, everything He has created, is designed with a very specific purpose. Now, we may not always understand what that is for those things any more than we do for our own lives, but the reality remains. Everything has a purpose. Nothing and no one is by accident. So if we're going to celebrate Christmas, and if we're going to be a part of this season of the year, if we're going to embrace everything that God has for us, wouldn't it be well for us to understand with more clarity what the purpose of Christmas really is from a biblical point of view? Well, there are three things that I think help us to understand the purpose of Christmas. The first of them is that Jesus came to erase the misconceptions about God. There's a lot of crazy ideas floating about as to what God is really all about. I think that if you were to talk to people just in random on the street, you would be shocked at some of the things you would hear if you asked them, who is God to you? Or what does Christmas mean to you? Or what is the purpose of this season? I was trying to find some information that goes along with that, and I Googled the phrase, what is God like? If you don't know what Googled is, then we'll have to talk about it later. But it's not ugly, okay? My mother always said, if I don't understand it, then I probably don't like it. One guy said on the internet, he said, I like to think of God as the sun and myself as a ray of sunlight. The ray is the same substance as the sun, so really I'm God too. Another guy wrote, I like to think of God like my dead father watching everything I do. Another one said, I like to think of God like our grandson who likes to hide and then jump out and surprise us. I really didn't understand that one at all. I don't know what that means. One wrote, I like to think of God like a sweet and tolerant person, pleased with everything he sees in the world. And you know the first thought jumped to my mind, because this was a man that wrote this. I thought, wimp. I don't know what else to say, and that's probably a critical thing, but I just thought, my goodness, if God is that weak and lame to you, what's the point of having one at all? Somebody wrote, I like to think of God as a wise old woman. One university professor said, I like to think of God as some sort of gigantic balloon, kind of like a giant brain floating in space. How would you like to meet that on your next shuttle mission? It's no wonder that people avoid God, run from God, are afraid of God, and don't want to go to church. If these are the ideas that people have about God, if this is the way God is being communicated around the world and in the culture, and if this is the kind of thing that people are bumping into all the time, and then you declare yourself to be a Christian and you say that you believe in God, then they immediately think of God in these crazy terms. So therefore, they don't want anything to do with that. And there's no doubt about it that many people do not understand who God is, and they don't understand what He is all about because they don't understand this first purpose. Jesus came in order to clear up a lot of these misconceptions. He came in order to help us to understand who God is. When the Bible describes Him as Emmanuel, God with us, He was reminding us that He has come in order to introduce us to God in a very personal but meaningful way. At creation, God made us in His image. But today, what is happening is we are trying to remake God in our image. We are wanting some sort of designer God. You're familiar with the Bible verse that says, this is the day the Lord has made. But for our culture, to a great extent, you might change that around and it would say, this is the Lord the day has made. And that's what we're seeing in our world today. Why is it so important that we talk about the purpose of Christmas and that we understand that Jesus came to illuminate who God really is? It's because people have so many misconceptions, even within the family of believers. When you hear people say, I like to think of God as, you can probably discount what they're about to say. Rick said that he likes to think of himself as looking like Brad Pitt, but in reality he looks like an avocado pit. He said that, not me. I wasn't going to let it go, though. One sociologist wrote this, over 95% of all Americans believe in God. The problem is that for many of these people, their image of God is distorted from what the Bible actually teaches. Fortunately, God wants us to know what He's like. So He came to earth in the form of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago. And Jesus Christ, by His birth, literally blew up all of these stereotypes and these misconceptions. In John 18:37, Pilate said to Him, so you are a king. And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born. And for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. He said, I came to tell the truth. There are two ways that Jesus blows up the misconceptions, and there are two ways that He reveals to us who God is. First of all, He tells us the truth. He tells us who God is. He helps us to understand by His teachings who God is and what God is like and what God's purpose and plan for your life is. When we read the words of Jesus Christ and when we understand and internalize what God has taught us through Jesus Christ, then it takes on a significance that goes beyond just mere words. It takes on a significance that begins to change who we are. He wants us to understand who God is. And so he tells us the truth. But the second way he does it is by demonstrating the truth. John 1:18 says, "No one has seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." So if you listen to what Jesus says and you watch what Jesus has done, then you will understand who God really is. In fact, that should be the standard by which we judge every understanding that we have of God. What does Jesus say about it? How did Jesus live it out? The Bible gives us that information. It provides for us the teachings of Christ. It provides for us the evidence of the life of Christ and the testimony of those who watched, who witnessed his life. And so the Bible helps us by helping us to understand who Jesus is. Jesus reveals to us who God is. What is the purpose of Christmas? It is that we would understand who God really is. There's a lot of things you can learn about God by looking at creation. You can know that God likes variety. You can know that God is organized. You can understand how powerful he is. You can understand that he is a creative person. We can know that he has a sense of humor. Just lean down and look down the row you're sitting on. You'll come to the conclusion God has a sense of humor. Do any of you watch David Letterman? Don't answer that because I don't want to know. I don't want to identify you or make you feel uncomfortable by being lumped into a group. I'll go ahead and identify myself. I like watching the monologue, I got to tell you. Now, I don't stay up late enough to see much else, but I like watching the monologue. Recently, he's been doing something along the way, and he says it's his Christmas gift to the audience, and he shows a picture or a video clip of a monkey sneezing. Now, some of you are laughing. Now you know who watches Letterman, okay? Because everybody who's laughing has seen that. Now, it's a simple thing. There's nothing really that amazing about it. I'm sure monkeys sneeze all the time. But this one happens to be sitting in a chair, and they caught it on video, and it's just kind of funny. And it takes about, I don't know, 3 or 4 seconds to view, and you smile or you chuckle, and then you move on. If God can make a monkey look like that, and then make him have that kind of facial expression when he sneezes, how could you ever come to the conclusion that he doesn't have a sense of humor? God has a sense of humor. We can know a lot about God by what we see around us, but there are some things about God that we only know because of Jesus Christ. We only know that God loves us because Jesus Christ told us and showed us that he loves us. We only know that God forgives us because Jesus Christ died to secure that forgiveness for us, and he told us that through him we would have life everlasting. We only know that God has a plan for our lives through Jesus Christ. We won't know that by looking at nature. We can't know that by looking at the world around us. We know that by experiencing and seeing and hearing what Jesus has for us. In fact, whether you're a Christian or not, or whether you're a religious person or not, you can say that God loves me, but how do you know for sure? Because he said it, and he came to earth himself and taught us. Jesus shattered a bunch of myths about God. He shattered the myth that God is distant and detached. God is too busy for me. He's out there doing his thing. I'm here on earth doing my own thing. Jesus shattered that. When Jesus came to this earth, it reminds us in a very personal way that God is with us. He exploded the myth that God is uncaring or unconcerned. In fact, the Bible says that God notices every time a bird falls to the ground. It says that even the hairs of your head are numbered. God knows us intimately. He knows us personally. He knows every day of our lives before even one of them comes to be. Jesus Christ made that real, and he made that personal. And in so doing, he destroyed the myth that God is uncaring or unconcerned. We know from Jesus Christ that God is merciful, that we can indeed through faith be pleasing in his sight. He's not some kind of tyrant. He is not unmerciful and unpleasable. Jesus died on the cross to secure for us a relationship with him that enables us to know these things. Luke 2:32 says that Jesus came as a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. What does light do? It helps us to see things as they really are. Do you see better in the dark or do you see better in the light? I think yesterday was the shortest day of the year. Isn't that right? It was the shortest day of the year. I set up my Christmas lights on these timers that are photo eye operated. And I set them to run for 5 hours. That's the only way you can set them. Once they come on, then they're going to run for 5 hours and go off. And so that's what I set them to do. I've got three of them. One of them controls a set of lights that goes down the side of the garage roof. One of them controls the lights that go up and over the eave of the garage and around the front of the house. And then one of them controls a lighted Christmas tree in the front yard. Every day, because it's been so cloudy and because it gets dark so early, those photo eyes go off anywhere from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 4:15. And then what happens at night, because they're in different locations around my house, and they get sunlight at different levels based on what's going on during the day, they all come on at different times. So it looks like I have one string out almost all the time. We pulled in last night. We had a gathering with Kathy's family because we're going to be spending Christmas with my family in Arkansas. And so they all came in on Saturday. They had some other family events, the various in-laws and so forth. And so we were all together there yesterday. We came in last night. It was about, 10:15 or so. And she said, "Oh, the lights are already off." And I said, "Honey, they've been off for a long time. I bet they came on at 3 o'clock today." But I said, "The good thing is they didn't all come on at the same time. Some of them probably just went off." She said, "Some of them." I said, "Yeah, they're going off at different times." She didn't realize that. And so please, since she's not here today in the early service, don't tell her, because she'll make me change it and try to fix it. And I don't know how. I just don't know how. So, and otherwise, I'm going to have to go out there and just turn them on manually and control it that way. Light helps you to see. It illuminates. It changes things. It changes your perspective. What you see in the dark is shapeless and it is filled with shadow and it doesn't make a lot of sense and it lacks clarity. But when you cast light on it, definition comes. One hot summer night, Sandy McIntosh heard her kids complaining about all the mosquitoes in the house. She didn't want to wake everybody up, so she left the light out, and in the dark she went into the kids' room. And while her kids had fallen asleep, she sprayed all of them. She sprayed the rooms with insect repellent and then went back to bed. Next morning, she woke up to discover, to her horror, that she had covered the kids, the bedding, the room, the walls with blue spray paint. She did say, "It smelled kind of funny." I'd have paid $5 to see that. Light is critical to our understanding of the world around us. Jesus is that light, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. That's why he came. The purpose of Christmas, first of all, is that you and I would know who God is, and Jesus reveals by his light who he is. John 14:9, Jesus said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Billy Graham always said, "When I want to know what God is like, I take a long look at Jesus Christ." Jesus is God with us. The second purpose of Christmas is this. He came to express the love of God. There's a big sign that we see time and time again. It's been around. It's now on t-shirts, some bumper stickers. It appears in so many ways to the point that it has become what most of us consider to be cliche. Jesus, he's the reason for the season. And yet it expresses that truth with such clarity. The season is not about jingle bells. It is about Jesus. The season is not about sinfulness. It's about a Savior. The season is about Jesus Christ himself, what God has done through him. That's why we celebrate it. But there's a deeper truth to it than that. Not only is he the reason for the season, but if you think about it for just a moment, you are also the reason for the season. Jesus came for you. I want to personalize it, not to the point where we make this about us, where we make a selfish, self-centered kind of experience. That's not my purpose at all. But I do want us to understand that when we hear the talk and when we see the scripture that refers to the love of God, and we realize that Jesus Christ came and that Christmas was an expression of His love, of God's love for you and me, that we understand that we are the object of that love. That does several things for us. It ought to lift your spirits. It ought to remind you that this is a personal thing, an individual thing. It ought to help us understand that there is something beyond all that we see and the glitter and the tinsel and the things that go along with the decoration of Christmas. It's not just a surface experience, but one that penetrates to the very heart and soul of every person. The reason for the season is Jesus. But in many ways, you are the reason for the season as well. Because Jesus came to express with perfect poignancy the love of God. A lot of times we see all of these movies that revolve around the holidays and have holiday themes. Maybe God sends an angel in the movie or some sort of special message, or maybe there's a problem and then an angel or some other supernatural being appears to communicate a message from God. But in reality, when Christmas occurred the very first time, while there were angels who announced and there were the supernatural beings that attended, the reality is that when God wanted to express His love to us in a way that would be unmistakable, He didn't send an angel, a messenger, or a prophet. He sent Himself. Jesus, God with us, came to express to us the perfect and pure love of God. We spend so much effort at Christmas time trying to find the perfect gift, trying to find something that will express that love that we have for the other person. But it isn't your present that's going to mean the most to the people around you. It is your presence. It is the love that comes through your life. There's a lot of misunderstanding about what real love is. One guy said to his girlfriend, "Baby, I'd die for you." She said, "You're always saying that, but you never do it." You can use that one, Jennifer, next time Justin says that. Those of you who don't know, this is Jennifer. She's Justin's girlfriend. Justin's at his church today. She wanted to come to this church rather than go with him. He said, "What does that say, Dad, when my girlfriend wants to go to your church and hear you preach instead of coming to mine?" I said, "It says that she's a woman of great discretion and high taste. I don't know what else to tell you, son." It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to show it. "Baby, I'd die for you." Prove it. That's the reality. The reality is that when Jesus came to this earth to show the love of God, He proved it. He did just that. He was born in our midst. He lived as we have lived. He experienced all that we know. But along the way, He also laid down His life that we might have life. 1 John 4:9, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins." God loved the world so much, He sent Jesus. Christmas is the celebration of God's love, His expression of perfect love, of pure love. There's a wedding invitation posted on the internet, and it says this, and it's a real wedding invitation that was sent out to over 250 guests. It said, "We're all a little weird, and life's a little weird. And when we find someone whose weirdness is compatible with ours, we join up with them when we fall into mutual weirdness. That weirdness is what we call love." I give that marriage 10 months. I think it'd be weird if it lasted longer than that. Love is not about your weirdness and my weirdness and us being weird together. Real love is about sacrifice. I set aside my desires, my preferences, my needs to help you to become what you can be, to be a better person than you would be otherwise. Love is giving. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Ephesians 3 says, may you be able to feel and understand how long, how wide, how deep, and how high God's love really is, and to experience that love for yourself. It says, may you be able to feel how long and how wide and how deep and how high the love of God really is. God wants us to experience that. He wants us to know the love of God. He came to this earth, born in our midst, in order that we might see the perfect expression of the four-dimensional love of our God. How long is it? It's long enough to last forever. How wide is it? Wide enough to be everywhere at the same time. How deep is it? Deep enough to handle any hurt or source of pain you may experience along the way. How high is it? High enough to overlook all of those things that stand between you and Him by His grace and through His sacrifice. Human love may wear out. God's love never does. God's love is perfect, and Jesus Christ is the perfect expression of that love. Jesus came to earth to erase all the misconceptions about God and help us to know who God is. Jesus came to earth, and we celebrate Him at Christmas as the perfect expression of God's love to us. But thirdly, He came to earth, and this is the most important one, to enable a relationship with God. If you get the first two and you miss the third one, the first two will be worthless to you. You can know everything there is to know about God from creation, even from the Bible, and from what you learn in Jesus Christ. You can grow up in Sunday school. You can go to church every week. You can be religious to a fault. And you can have this information just bulging out of your brain that tells you everything that you could possibly know about God. And if you don't have a relationship with Him, it's meaningless. You can understand the life, birth, life, death, resurrection, everything of Jesus. You can have that information. You can memorize the four Gospels, and you can have all of that in chronological order and be able to recite it back. But if you have not experienced Him yourself, it's worthless. It is the relationship with Jesus Christ that changes us, that transforms us, that saves us. Ephesians 1:5 says, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. You see, the purpose of God was that you and I would enter into a relationship with Him. The purpose of Christmas is the celebration of Jesus Christ coming to this earth to enable that relationship to become reality. It is the relationship that changes us. It's what makes it personal. It's what brings us into the family. And the amazing part is God wanted us to be a part of His family. God planned for you to be part of His family. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to get to know you. He wants you to get to know Him and to spend eternity. That's why He made you eternal. If you develop a relationship with God through Jesus Christ on this earth, you will spend eternity with Him. We talk about heaven, and we talk about life after death, and we talk about the hope that is ours. Imagine what it would be like to go through this experience not having the security and the certainty of that relationship. The relationship is what secures that and makes it real for us. And Jesus Christ came that you and I might have life. Romans 5:11 says, more than that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Through whom we've become friends. It's a mind-blowing verse. Not only does God want us to be in His family, He wants our relationship to be close as friends. The Creator of the universe cares about you and me. He wants us to be in a relationship with Him that is personal, that is eternal, that's mind-boggling. But it is so important. In fact, your life depends on it. If you get everything else that I've given you today and you don't get this, then you've got nothing. This is what makes it real. And this is what it really always comes down to. Galatians 3:26, it says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." How do I enter into that relationship, Scott? How do I experience that friendship? How do I know that I'm a part of that family? Here's the answer. In Christ Jesus, you're a child of God through faith. Just as there is a lot of misunderstanding about what love really is, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what faith really is. I think one of the greatest expressions of faith that we have is a genuine statement made in the time when everything is just kind of centered and zeroed in on a very specific moment. I remember it very well. When we were together with the family yesterday, my mother-in-law told me that one of our friends from Maplewood had passed away. And when I heard the name, Dale Belk, I remembered that family. His wife, Doris, has already passed away and gone to be with the Lord, but Doris was in charge of the kitchen at Maplewood. And Doris, when she found out Kathy and I were dating, was just elated. She thought it was a match made in heaven. And so, while Kathy's parents didn't share that elation yet, Doris was a friend indeed. And so, when we announced our engagement, and they knew that we were going to be married there, Doris was so happy, and she said, "I want to do the meal, and I'll take care of everything." And she did, and it was wonderful. When I heard her name, I thought about that day that Kathy and I got married. And I thought about standing on the platform there in Maplewood Baptist Church. And I can remember with such detail my legs trembling. You see me today behind this pulpit, and I don't generally appear as someone who's afraid. And quite frankly, I'm not. But on that day, I was. I don't know what I was afraid of. I loved her. I wanted to be married to her more than anything in the world. But I was just suddenly struck with, I don't know, panic, anxiety, fear, and I couldn't control it. My legs literally shook. People sitting in the audience could see my pants moving. But I remember my dad, and I looked up at him, and his voice never wavered, and it didn't crack. There was no fear in his face. There was only joy. And the strength of his voice that has the ability to penetrate your mind and your heart, for that matter, the brick wall around you, that voice didn't come as the strong and penetrating force that it so often does. It came as a gentle force. And he said, I remember as he started the vow, "Will you?" And then he paused and he looked up at me, and I turned to Kathy and I said, "I will." I remember that as if it were moments ago. I remember that as if it were moments, not 27 years of moments ago. It was at that moment I said, "I will." And you know what happened? My knees stopped shaking. At that moment, peace came over me. At that moment, all that I had felt leading up to that and the motivation that had brought us to that very specific moment suddenly coalesced in a way in my mind and my heart that I was no longer afraid. You see, that's what happens When God calls your name, and when you realize that Jesus Christ was born in the manger because God wanted you to understand who He was and what He was all about, and God wanted to love you and to show you that you are loved and that you are to be a part of His family. And when Jesus Christ came, He was born in that manger. The purpose of that was to provide for you a sacrifice that would enable you to become a part of that family, to enter into a relationship with Him. And all it would take would be when you hear that voice to say, I will. I will. You see, Jesus came, and the purpose of Christmas is for you to be in a relationship with Him. But it will never happen except through Jesus Christ and your faith in Him. How do I express that faith? You do it by making a commitment. You say, I will. I will follow you. I will be your child. I will love you as you have loved me. I will follow as you direct. I will fulfill all that you have planned. I will, I will, I will. Every day I wake up, I am a lot of things, but one thing I always am is I am always a child of the King, and I will follow Him. The purpose of Christmas. I hope you enjoy everything that it has to offer you. From family experience to gift giving and sharing to time away from your routines to all of the things that we so associate with this season of the year. Whether it's the tinsel and the glitter or whether it's the simplicity and the solitude, I hope you enjoy it all. But I hope along the way that you enjoy it, not because you stand on the outside looking in. I hope this Christmas is not another window shopping adventure for you. I hope you enjoy it because when Jesus called your name, you said, I will. The purpose of Christmas is for you to know God, to see clearly the love given through Jesus Christ, and to be in a relationship with Him forever.
Thank you so much for joining us for our podcast. You can go to our website at www.tbcsullivan.com, and there you will find past, future, and present podcasts and other information about the church. If you'd like to send us an email, just let us know how we're doing or request additional CDs, you can send us an email to tbc@tbcsullivan.com.